Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Don't let me fade away. Don't let me fade away. Jabba, we have arrived at Goo Goo Lagoon.
Thank you for listening. This is WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM.
What? December. Feel like it's the summer. Catch me over yonder. Looking for the top. Where is the topper? Where the competition in a 6 foot slumber with a pillow on a cover? Off of being stubborn. Down in some direction. Where is the compass? I'm a real big stepper. They some little toe stubbers. How they sound like us? That's a talent show cover. I'ma make them all suffer. I'm a A1 stunner. My bitch ass make them sad. That's a real big bummer. She like bad shots from me. But with you, she a fronter. Ben Frank Pop States. I'm a thumber. I'm a thumber. Niggas watch. They get rinsed and repeat. Little bitch. Not a brick when I speak. It's a key. Little bitch. And a niece on a Greek. Be discreet. Little bitch. Put some candles on this block and make a tea. Little bitch. I'm a Annie up. Bitch, I put the Annie up. 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 Niggas scared when the town come back around. Talking all that bullshit. Need to simmer down. Keep it a thigh. Keep the shit a whole millennia. You ain't moving like us. Need to shut it up. Bitch, yellow, that's my Super Saiyan 2, bitch. Put rookie in my phone, that's my new bitch. She fucking on a goat, bestiality. Took a tab, now I got a new reality. Tryna go against me, me. It's fatality. Niggas wanna ride dick, can I saddle me? Tryna ride away, can I paddle me? Going dumb in this bitch, need a dust cap. Used to say I was him, it was once cap. Fake it till you make it, yeah, how the sand go? Yelling on stage, yeah, young Samuel. And this bitch is ghost and shell. Nicotine on my breath, do not mind the smell. Paris, Texas, really damn, you just hit the nail. I'm doing good once I know the fucking melon hate it. I already need a melon, you need not the melanated. Getting hot, might need FPF now. X bitch transition, XBF now. Dick so good, now she wanna be like me. All this money and I still want a DIE. Real emo in this bitch, my DYE. Vertical with the cut, I might BYE. Don't know what I do, trying some dreamy. Annie up, bitch, I put the Annie up. 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 Niggas scared when the town come back around. Talking all that bullshit, need to simmer down. Keep it a thigh, keep the shit a whole millennia. If you ain't moving like us, need to shut it up. Annie up, bitch, I put the Annie 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 up. Niggas scared when the town come back around. Talking all that bullshit, need to simmer down. Keep it a thigh, keep the shit a whole millennia. If you ain't moving like us, need to shut it up.
I need something to faze me. kiss me with you. You remind me why I'm in love with you.
All right. This is WMFO 91.5 FM. Full moon, March 14th, Friday. Servus Après Ski, DJ Cherry Street. If it's broke, why not try fixing it? In the 21st century, when things break, it's typical to just toss them out into the trash for the landfill and buy replacements. But that can actually waste money and time, as well as harming the environment. A simple sewing kit can cost less than a pair of socks. My friend Evan has knit all of his socks. Mending holes in clothes with a needle and thread can often take just a few minutes, less time than browsing the web to spend money buying new ones. While some electronic devices are purposefully manufactured to be impossible to repair, websites like iFixit.com publish high-quality, detailed repair guides for free. It's one of your electronic device malfunctions before responsibly disposing of it as e-waste. First, track down the owner's manual and see if it has a reset procedure. Often enough, that will do the trick. So when something of yours breaks, consider trying to fix it to save you both time and money. Search the internet for instructions, and remember, if you're going to throw it out anyway, you don't have to worry too much about further damaging it. A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Thank you all for tuning in, if you tuned in. And if you didn't tune in, the sound waves from this radio cell tower are going anyways into the universe. And I find myself in esteemed company, joined by some very fine humans that come from around the universe like ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
With experiences and thoughts and upcomings and shortcomings and leftcomings and rightcomings.
All the comings in between.
You can go right ahead and introduce yourself, fine humans who also find yourself here on the full moon of March 14th, Friday.
So, fine human number one over here. I'll go by name DJ Midnight. We're coming up on my hour.
Midnight.
It's a pleasure to hear you all spiritually. And I'm happy that you guys can hear us too.
This is DJ Chunky Milk. Coming at you live. We're live streaming. It's a beautiful Friday night. Maybe about 39 degrees.
Roughly.
Fahrenheit, not Celsius. What do we got going on, fellas? I'm here from New York at the moment.
Yeah.
Just visiting up from New York City.
We got an export.
I'm here from Cambridge, right near Central Square. You know, I had a really great week. Got to go skiing on a little work retreat.
How was the mountain? Did you go up or down it?
Definitely went down. Pretty sick spring conditions. Type of conditions where I'm unzipping and degloving.
Whoa.
Every run.
So speaking of unzipping,
whoa.
I'm going to propose we unzip our emotional coats.
Mm-hmm.
Get a little deep here, you know.
Take them off.
What words come from your...
What do you guys think is the key to a healthy relationship?
I'm going to say the first one that jumped out to me, straight up, I'd say trust.
Because
I feel like humans are not perfect machines. There's always going to have, like, residual error. Sometimes, like, communication may be, like, misinterpreted. Maybe actions are misinterpreted. Not always going to be around with that, say, partner or person. But, like, I think having trust allows you to kind of have that confidence in it, even when you can't confirm it. Keeps it up.
Maestro, got anything?
Yeah, I think when you say healthy, it really is most powerful when both people are healthy. Mm-hmm. And the responsibility of being in a relationship, trying to have a healthy one, I feel like is also taking up a responsibility with yourself to maintain your lifestyle and for you to be healthy. And if your partner is also aiming to do that and they're also healthy, then you can enjoy what could be a really healthy relationship.
Mm.
And I think that involves a lot of emotional, spiritual, physical self-assessment and what makes you feel fulfilled and find value.
Yeah, that kind of gets at mine. I was going to say communication, because I think that kind of encompasses trust and comfort and health. Because if some, like, inevitably people go through hard times, we've all been probably in relationships, either romantic or otherwise. Also, I said healthy relationship, I didn't specify romantic. But I think we've all been in relationships that sometimes get a little bit much, either because of stuff we're going through or stuff the other person's going through. And at least something that I've found is most of the time what has made those relationships in the past not healthy has been a lack of true communication, you know, being able to fully be yourself.
Mm. Yeah, I think true communication is a really complicated topic, because there's so many things you would say to a variety of different people, from family members to friends to strangers. And in one level, it's being a kind human and treating humans with kindness while you're communicating. But in another level, I think it's also revealing very internal thoughts and feelings. And you, like what you said earlier, DJ Midnight.
Midnight.
The trust is so important in getting those kind feelings and layers and vulnerability communicated and delivered, I think, in an understood, felt way.
Did you guys hear that?
I think that was
the live studio audience.
I thought a bunch of people just clapped. Yeah. Nice, there is space around this studio for fellow curious humans to gather.
Yeah, it's just dawning on me that our viewers probably don't know where we are.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
It's kind of similar to Tiny Desk, you know. I would picture it.
Yeah, we are riding a frequency.
Pretty big in Tiny Desk.
In the universe.
This desk is not the tiniest, but
it's a desk nonetheless. Kind of U-shaped.
I think we can bring our focus to a more courageous topic. And sometimes when I think about this topic, it gets all stirred up with different topics. But nostalgia as a way of embracing your life and reliving your life from the past.
Go on.
Yeah, extrapolate on that.
yeah. Tell me what you're thinking. You kinda lost.
You're starting to stroke some chords, and then I feel like I missed the end of the note. You know what I mean?
DJs, I thought you would know.
Put us on.
Tomorrow is but the day after March 14th.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain kind of day called Wharton Day.
Wharton Day celebration.
And Wharton Day is a tradition of nostalgia and hope.
Mm-hmm. Hope and nostalgia, but also, the present. So I'd say, all three of them tie it into one. It's to remember what got you there remember where you want to be, but most importantly, in that moment, to just be.
Morton Day, as a physical reminder of what's valuable, takes place for myself and the DJs accompanying me here at 91.5 FM, WMFO.
A lot of letters.
WFM.
Oh. WTF.
Dot FM.
Oh.
ABC. BS.
We will find ourselves along the great coasts of the Atlantic Ocean, visiting a site that conjured up feelings and colors.
And though that place is so tangible and physical, the spirit, the nature of the holiday reinforces you to remember how malleable reality can be and the power you have to do what you want.
1,000%. I think nostalgia exists in a weird way in our mind, in which in some ways it's hitting on previous memories and previous experiences. If you think about replaying previous experiences, that could increase your feelings of nostalgia. But at the same time, it has an emotional layer to it too, to where those experiences, you're replaying them for a certain reason, sometimes out of your own control. But I think it kind of gets at this separation a little bit between the brain and the mind, because certain times, logically, we feel like there are things we shouldn't be nostalgic about, but we find ourselves yearning for those.
And that really brings us to a great point of appreciating the whole experience, I think, of your whole life and the certain points where you are along your whole life. And for us, in this site along the Atlantic Ocean, we found ourselves in a place navigating challenges, navigating joys, navigating what it feels like to be alive and have feelings for other people and to have those feelings ever-changing. And I think it's an invitation for everybody to reflect on their sites of importance, their place with those that are special to them, and perhaps call a special gathering you have with some people, call it a tradition. Call it something special. Call it the Midnight Special. You know, DJ Midnight might be thinking that over there.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. On that note, remember, all that is important, but also remember to be silly tomorrow at least once too, because you can.
Mm. Yeah, throw a compliment at somebody, you know, like
Fafo.
Yeah. It's not a holiday, but it should be.
It's a holiday if you choose to celebrate it. So celebrate it. If you want. You don't have to, but
would you guys be better off with a calendar system that was not cyclical and not patternized, but was almost just linear? So today would just be day 752,000.
Well, like, would you still have years, or would it be like day one of 365 each year? Or are you saying that like there never was years?
I think years. Days? I think days could be in a relationship with the light and the darkness, daylight and day night.
But just numbers and then, in terms
and
of
just,
time.
Yeah, just numbers. So almost no like Roman cyclical. Numerals, you know. Imagine that. Imagine a wall tracking each day.
I
don't think I would be good with a linear system. I think the cyclical nature of a calendar year kind of grounds me. And I'm not a big person who sets like New Year's resolutions, but I feel like inherently, kind of innately, every time another year goes around on this planet, which again, I wouldn't lose that if we didn't have a cyclical system because a year would still happen. But the feeling of starting over, and I think at least for me, like another shot, even though I am a year older, is something that I feel like inspires me more than feeling like I'm on a never-ending rat race.
I do feel the same way, honestly.
I could get with that. And I think, like, I agree in a lot of ways, like, grounding just my individual self, whether it's in a month or a week, is kind of helpful for my, like, say, productions levels, but also social levels. But on a big thing, I think for, say, like, remembrance and tradition and, like, celebration, I think having years are almost, like, vital. Because if, like, by being able to say, hey, Christmas is every 25th, I think you maybe lose that if it became linear. Like, your birthday would be, like, 143. That's not coming back again. And though it still exists, I don't know if we'd be as motivated to highlight those things regularly.
This is great because it sheds light on how important, you know, the structures that we have are to us. Because I feel like what imagining the calendar system as just being, like, a linear line invites somebody to think about is not having those patterns that provide so much sense of peace and direction and value, but all the while it is still just something we created. And being here in this moment, like Wharton Day, our tradition encourages us to ask for the most true thing somebody could say does not have to be tied to the date. That is, in an abstract way,
it's arbitrary.
Tagged for that experience.
Kind of to your earlier point, like, part of me does also feel like it is just human nature that if you took away our calendar year, we would, because we are a species that likes to find patterns in things and kind of compulsively finds patterns in things for structure, I feel like we would develop a similar kind of calendar structure. It might look a little different, but I feel like, you know, what I was saying, and obviously it resonated with both you guys too, I think it would resonate with probably a lot of the people listening, if anyone's listening.
All you guys, the masses.
But that's because it's a pretty human feeling of safe social structure, something bigger than what you and I do when we pick our head up from the pillow or put it back down at the end of the day. Like, it makes us feel like we're part of something bigger that's moving, yes, in a linear direction, but is structured. And it's not only linearly progressing without any kind of human influence.
And the human influence is just that, because the structures change themselves. With new holidays being introduced into years, with us recalling the year of zero being the birth
of that dude,
of a figure.
That dude.
And perhaps it's for the best, but it's always great to think about how it could be too.
It is fun to play, like, hypotheticals. I think if, like, we were to, like, take your original idea of, say, like, the numerical linear and kind of apply Manny's thinking, I do think we'd, like, find ourselves maybe, like, celebrating hundreds.
Yeah.
Like, every zero would be a big deal.
Every 50th, every 100th.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that type of pattern, exactly kind of how you were saying, Manny, too, we would find the patterns that adapt. That could be a really, over a long period of time, beautiful way of viewing time on the planet. If you had, say, hundredths or 50ths as significant holidays.
Well, not to get too theoretical, but you're kind of hitting on one key feature that's different where you go in the world based on cultures. If you look at systems of measurement, like the metric system versus the British imperial system. And partially, that's examples of two pretty identical human populations that just came up with different ways to make sense of the world around them. For some people, they looked down and they saw they had 10 fingers, and they thought it made sense to divide things in tens, in a base of 10, in a system where everything is kind of based on things being divisible by 10. And in another system, people went for things that were a little bit more salient or meaningful to them and their culture or their society.
Naturally.
And I think that those are both patterns. Those are both human, but they're also both something that humans did to add or to contribute to the world around them. Like mm-hmm. the human effect that I think that when you place someone in an environment, the environment is inevitably changed because of that person and everything that they bring with them.
Mm-hmm.
Maestro?
It is the beautiful collective accountability that we take to uphold our structures, holidays, calendars, weeks, jobs, appointments, recreation, leisure.
I like the way we have it, because I think that if we were to like say like drop this new stimuli, say like do the numbers game. I mean, this is I guess half baked from the fact that we're in the present, so like we're all communicating. But like, I'd be worried that we lose some of like the cultural difference of different holidays mm-hmm. and such.
Yeah.
And like, I think it's cool that like during, say, I keep coming to Christmas because it's the first holiday I'm thinking of. But hey, whatever you celebrate in December, that's a cool time for that. And that's a very specific like action function things you do, while it's completely different than how you'd say celebrate St. Patrick's Day, which is coming up, or Warren Day, or Halloween.
But at mm-hmm. the same time, it is arbitrary, mm-hmm. which is, I think, a cool point that you were talking mm-hmm. about earlier, Maestro, mm-hmm. which is that even if we did change it to a linear system, even if we changed it, our changes do not affect time. Mm. You know, and time does kind of exist, depending on how you want to view it, theoretically, on a sort of linear scale. Mm. Obviously, at a bunch of different scales, but by and large, it's kind of moving in one direction, and we like to think about that.
And when we fill it in.
Exactly. And we fill it, like, December is December.
Mm-hmm.
But December, kind of getting at what I said earlier with the British imperial system versus the metric system, December in the Northeast, where we are now, makes you think of Christmas for a bunch of reasons, because it's getting snowy and because it's cold and you see decorations coming about. All of those things are completely arbitrary, and it's on a day and a month in a period of time that we've just marked as being indicative of this one thing that we want to acknowledge.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, language also has such a vital role to the sustainability of these structures too, because in a way and form, while all of us sitting around this table speak English and celebrate English holidays, as well as others, of course, too, it is the languages that provide the information, provide the emotional tone, the mood, the backbone of memories and conversations that perpetuate our structures forward. And our languages are always changing and have changed so much.
I can get with that.
Yeah.
I'd say, like, maybe in the theory...
You DJ Midnight, if I do say, you do ask me on a day-to-day mm-hmm. how my dizzy is. I am not dizzy, sir.
I
have good dizzies.
You're not dizzy, for sure. But I guess, like, my cause for pause was only, is there a line we should draw between slang and language, so to say? Because, like, sure, I might say dizzy, but if I said dizzy to someone in California... No context. They're going to be confused because that's not the actual language we attribute to.
Mm. If I said our chick, what do you think I'm talking about?
Our chick?
That sounds Danish.
An our chick.
An our chick?
We're going to eat an our chick tonight.
I'd go artichoke pretty quickly. I'd go straight to an artichoke idea, yeah.
I didn't think artichoke at all, and I like artichoke, but I don't know if I'm being, like, mentally dominated by the idea of what I heard. Is it artichoke?
Mm.
Is it an
So it's rotisserie chicken.
That's what my
girlfriend calls rotisserie chicken.
Ro-chick?
Ar-chick.
Ar-chick.
Ar-chick. Rotisserie.
Yeah. Same with green onions. She calls them grunions.
Grunions. I like that. Grunions, yeah.
But you're hitting at a cool point, which is when she says these things, I understand them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I also make fun of her because I didn't understand them before.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's this kind of vernacular that we've established. But at the same point, it's not something that really has any meaning outside of what we're giving it.
Mm. There's almost like levels to say the slang now, because I think obviously with like things like media and social media and how much more we can communicate, you have like your primary like friend slang, like for example your girlfriend example, where like me and Maestro had no idea, but you learned it. But things like Ohio and Skibbity that we may see online, I think even though they had no meaning before, there's kind of a shared thing there. So I think that middle ground may be a good argument for slang is a progression of language.
Most certainly. And
it matters what sticks, though.
And I think it matters what makes the most people feel good, too. And our holidays tie that a little bit together. I think our time
on look this at that.
Full moon, the 14th day of March, somewhere Warden along the Atlantic Ocean, we'll be there tomorrow. Today we're somewhere else, though. Thank you so much for listening. This is WMFO 91.5 FM, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Let me hear it just one more time. This is DJ Cherry Street, and in my great esteemed company tonight that will also be leaving right now.